Hey, before we get into the episode, a quick and exciting update. We're launching the Just Go community. Now, if you're anything like me, you get hung up on perfectionism because you want the stuff that you post to be amazing. And sometimes that can actually work against us because we're trying to post something that's perfect. And guess what? It's never really going to be perfect. And we feel like if we just kind of work on it for a little longer, it will be better. This episode is a great example of the podcast. It's been sitting on a hard drive for several weeks, and I've been trying to tweak it and edit it, come up with better opening transitions and things like that. What is the most important is to get it out so that I can get faster feedback. The Just Go community is going to be a space for that. It'll be a place for brave creators who are willing to share their work, share work in progress, to get iterative feedback to improve. So it'll be a space for all different types of creators to share their work before posting publicly. So it's a little bit of a buffer to get you ready to post your best work publicly. We will be sharing feedback with each other so that we can improve our work and then get it out to the world. So if you're interested in this, check out the latest status. At the time of recording this, we're still in kind of a beta pre-launch, but to get the latest status of getting on the pre-wait list and also as we launch to be able to join, visit justgo.community. Right in your web browser, type in justgo.community to get the latest info. Okay, now on to the episode. This episode is with Anna Olson. She's the creator of ATL Friends, which is an amazing community of people in Atlanta. It started with a simple idea on TikTok, and she shared her idea and has now grown to, at time of recording, nearly 30,000 Instagram followers, and it's just amazing community, and it all started with a simple idea. It's really pulls all of the ideas of the Just Go mindset and the Between Dreams world all together. Get started on your ideas, share it with people, and watch it grow. So we'll jump into the episode. This is my conversation with Anna Olson. Welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. This podcast chats with people who are not only dreaming about big things, but making them happen. That's what life is all about. This is Anna Olson, and you have created this amazing community of people here in Atlanta to connect and get together. And you have a background in events, and you're kind of bringing that all together, particularly yes. like for creative people, and now beyond that yes. as just like a place for people that want to meet with people in Atlanta. So that was a bad description of what you
No, that was great. I'll just say, that was great. It was a great description. Yeah, it ATL Friends started, I'm happy to dive into this more a little bit later, but it started as sort of a happy accident. I myself was looking to just build connections with people in Atlanta, but it's very hard to do as an adult, especially when you've moved here or you're a transplant. And long story short, the TikTok algorithm sort of made that happen. And yes, ATL Friends is the name of the group. And we started as a space for creatives to kind of connect. It was going to be like one small picnic. And now it's a group of like 26,000 Atlanta people. Yeah. It's expanded beyond creatives. And it's more really just anyone who's an adult in Atlanta that needs friends. But we really do try and highlight our creative community. And it seems like creatives tend to find us. Yeah. So it's a lot of creatives are involved with ATL Friends. But
yeah. So one of the things that in a lot of the people that I talk to, it's about particularly knowing most of my friends being live entertainers and creative people, they start with this idea that feels like there's this theme of, oh, I didn't know that could be a job, or I didn't know that could actually take from this idea.
Yeah.
To a thing. And that's what the Between Dreams world is all about.
I love that.
What happens? It's cool to dream big dreams, but what happens between the dreams
yeah.
is life. And it's a big step. That first step is the biggest step of, I think a lot of people have in whatever city they're in, they've thought about this, like, oh, what if I could get a community of friends mm-hmm. together? And then you wake up in the morning, you're like, okay, but what do I do?
Yeah.
And I've done it myself. When I first moved here, I tried to do little work hangouts here at my place, and like four people would come, and then it would just be like not the right vibe or something, or like it wasn't right, to the point where I just stopped doing it. And it never went past that thing. So I think it's easy for people to be like, oh, I like went on TikTok and started talking about this, and it turned into this thing, which that's part of the story.
Part of it.
But there's also, you had to overcome, I'm sure, something that was like at first, like, is this right? This doubt. So let's go back to that thing of like, have this idea. I want to get people together, you know, and there's always, in what we do, there's always some element of like, oh, I want to help other people, but probably some element of, I want this for myself.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and it was kind of selfish the way that it started, because it wasn't an idea. It was truly an accident. So I will go back to the beginning. In like mid 2021, I was feeling just really lonely. And I had really great friends here who I have known for years, but I just was feeling like something was lacking. And I took this sort of this break from everything. All I would do was work, and I would go home and walk my dogs and do self-care, but I wasn't on Instagram. I had deactivated it. I did use TikTok because I'm an addict. I mean, I couldn't give that up, but I was really just kind of in this weird space for the first time in my life where I was like, I'm going to stop everything, and I'm just going to work on healing and like feeling okay with myself. And then when I'm ready to like be back out in the world, then I'll come back, whatever. But I just made this dumb TikTok during that time. It was sort of like the tail end of that time. And it was just like me with my camera. And it was point of view. You live in Atlanta and you're looking for people to shoot with or hang out with. Because I really just wanted to find people who, I'm a very amateur hobbyist photographer, but I wanted people who would just be down to like pick up their cameras and go around the city and shoot pictures for no reason. And that TikTok didn't do anything. It sat there for a couple of weeks and no one saw it, which was par for the course. No one saw my TikToks. And I don't know, one Sunday I was sitting in a coffee shop working and my phone started blowing up, and suddenly the Atlanta algorithm had picked up this TikTok, and suddenly all the comments were, oh, I'm a photographer in Atlanta, I would love to do this, or I'm a model or a content creator, I would love to have my photo taken. So on and so forth, until it was like 800 comments, and somebody in the comments section said, oh, we should all meet. And I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. What does one do to facilitate that? And so thinking it was just a fluke, I posted a couple of more TikToks and I was like, if you really want to meet, like, let's just comment here so I know. And it was hundreds of people every time. And I was like, I think there's like something here and maybe I should run with it.
Yeah.
So we started a little GroupMe. There were like 30 people in it. And we started planning essentially a picnic at Piedmont Park. This was in September of 2021. And the picnics started to grow. So it was in my brain, I was like, no one's going to come to this. This is just going to be a fluke. And within 2 days, the GroupMe had like 300 people in it. And so we moved to Discord, which is now where we connect online. And fast forward, September 25th rolls around and we have our first meetup, and I think 100 people showed up. And that was shocking to me, because I thought, number one, as many people were in the group chats and whatever, I thought no one's actually going to show up to the park and just meet a bunch of strangers. Yeah. And then, 100 people did. And that's when I knew, like, okay, I think there's something here and I don't want to lose what it is. Cause at that point, so many people had formed really cool relationships and friendships, and I had made friends through it. And so that's when I just decided, okay, I'm going to try and keep this thing going. Started an Instagram, would post about it more on TikTok. And we, for a while, it was like very heavily online connection, but there were lots of different events happening throughout the city. And then we had our second large meetup in December. So there was kind of like a long window, and then now we're doing them every other month. So the December one, when the turnout was good at that one, I think that's when I really knew that this was worth keeping going. And the Instagram started to grow, so I brought on a team of three of my friends who I made through the community to help run it. And now it's just kind of like a machine, and it's not a machine, that's the wrong word, but like a well-oiled system of people that are helping me run it that are equally passionate about it. And now we're just trying to impact as many Atlanta adults as we can, because I know I've seen for me what it's done. And like, I was so lonely when this whole thing started, and now I've got this amazing community of friends who I can call at 3 a.m. if I needed something. And yeah. I didn't have that before. So it's been amazing. And I'm hoping that it's doing that for other people too. So
yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of chatting a little bit before we started recording of how, you know, we showed up and met like other photographers and video people and, you know, some models, and it was really like heavily attracted to kind of the creative parts of the people that were there. And so, yeah, it is interesting to me that it feels like that would be easy for it just to happen organically. It's, mm-hmm. it's interesting that it requires some like spark of like, it's not just going to happen without you making it happen.
Yeah.
You would think it would of like, oh, somebody, but then when you think about these things, it's like, well, if I don't do it, so, and if other people are expecting someone else to do it,
totally,
it's just never going to happen.
So yeah.
It's one of those things that's like,
very true. That
everyone wanted this, like, why didn't it happen?
Why didn't it exist before?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. I think some of it too, a lot of our ATL Friends community is very introverted.
Yeah.
I would say that I'm more like extroverted introvert. I get my energy and joy from like being alone, but I am very social at the same time. But it requires a lot of work, I guess, to keep something going, but it's also putting yourself out there and kind of being vulnerable enough to like, you know, run with, whether it's an idea or an accident, to run with it. And it's scary. I don't know. I tell people this all the time because I get comments from people on TikTok or Instagram and they're like, I'm so scared to come to this meetup. Like, I know I need it, but this is really intimidating. And I'm like, no, I'm intimidated too. It's very, it's very intimidating. So I think there's probably some of that. And then also like people not knowing how to go about it. But I think something weird that happened with the pandemic, we were all so isolated and we all kind of turned to the internet and particularly TikTok to connect with people. And the way that algorithm works is insane. And it does have a way of connecting the right people with each other. And so it's just interesting to hear all the stories of like how people found it and that we were all needing it, but it just, no one really knows how to create something for that purpose. But it's interesting too, because there are other cities now that I'm seeing now that I'm like in this world where they kind of have their own things, and a lot of them all started through TikTok.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same story. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. So what, as somebody that has experience, you have experience in events and stuff, what is it that you do? So for me, I would, if I saw this, which I did, online somehow through like, you know, like you said, it just finds a way to the right people. A lot of times I would have this feeling of, especially if I was alone, it's really intimidating for me to like go, kind of what you're saying. It's really intimidating for me to go to this new place. And that's why I kind of like going to a concert or something where then there's something that I can do.
Yeah.
I can like sit in the back and watch. So like, what do you think it is that allowed that crossover, for the threshold that has been crossed now, if people were willing to come? What do you think it was? Maybe it is just that the people were just so, for lack of better words, desperate for the interaction. Or maybe, and it's like, what did you do to make that feel okay to those people that felt like it would be intimidating to come? And then what is the second part of that, is what's it even like, ideally, if you could do more to really make that?
Because
there's definitely people who, there's a lot of people who come, but there's definitely people who, I mean, I literally, when I was out in LA, somebody invited, I was like, remember this forever because it's so like painful. Somebody invited me to this like stand-up comedy show and it was like free. It was like in the back of a restaurant type stand-up comedy show. And I was like, I could like ride my bike to there. So I was like, okay, cool. I won't need to worry about parking. Like all of the hurdles for me to go were like removed. It's free.
Yep.
I didn't have to find parking. You know, I could just go over. And I literally walked up to the front door, but I like didn't know how I would have to like walk through the restaurant and then get to the back. And then I was like, I don't know if people are going to like ask me why I'm here. They had this weird, because same thing, I'm like, socially, I want to be out doing things, but have this reserved inside thing. So anyway, I didn't go in. I like planned, that was my night plan. And I went up and I was like outside the restaurant, like looking in. I was like, oh, can I like kind of like sneak in the back and no one will see me? I decided that was too much stress. And I didn't go. And it was like super, I like went back home and I was like upset about it because I really wanted to go, but I was like, I like couldn't. I like couldn't walk in. So anyway, What do you think there's ways to do that? So on both sides, like what can happen in these types of events that actually do make it more easy for mm-hmm. people to show up? Because same thing that when I thought about that was like, I could see myself, yeah, I'm going to go to Piedmont Park.
Yeah.
And I'm like walking up and there's just a
massive group of people. Yeah, crazy.
I don't really want to be like the person that's like walking around, like walking into a group, be like, hi, I want friends too, you know, like I want to, you know,
I understand
like,
that.
I think it's fine once you're in, but there's that threshold
that initial
to cross.
Yeah,
that
that's
was a
hard.
Long way of getting to that.
No, I, like, it's good. It's good.
Roundabout story to get to that thing. Like what can be done on both sides for people that are feeling that? And then also like for events to make that feel open. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's good. It's hard. And I think about this a lot because I hope that when people leave ATL Friends events that they're like, okay, that was a warm environment that I felt safe in and that I felt comfortable in. And now I'm good to go to the future ones. But it is that initial threshold. And I've had people that even people that I've communicated with quite a bit online around this group who I would say are kind of like online friends who still they got to the park and then they saw the group and this group was much bigger than in February than it had been in the past, but they got a little intimidated and they left. And I, my response to them was, if I were in your shoes, I would have done the same thing. Like if I didn't organize this, I don't think that I would have been able to walk up to it. It's extremely intimidating. And so I think about this a lot, like how can we make it feel easier for people to walk up? And I think there are a couple of things. Number one, I think being authentic, in this type of scenario anyway, like these kinds of events, it is very much me and my team were constantly out there like talking to everyone online. And I think being authentic with them and letting them know that I am definitely feeling the same way as them. I'm always like about to puke before these events. I feel terrified. I'm like, what if people hate it? What if everyone is just miserable? So it's very intimidating for me too, and for my whole team, being vulnerable and sharing that side of it with people. And really what has helped, I think, and I know that there's still people, there are always going to be people who it takes them a little bit longer to warm up to it. But I think the more that we're able to help people connect online in advance of these in-person meetups, I think that's helped a lot. We have a Discord and people have their friendships that are forming in there. And then we really try and work hard to even just on Instagram to like connect people. We have people, we'll do a lot of prompts, questions, and people respond and be like, who is that? That sounds like something I would have said, and we'll connect them on the back end. And so we try and really utilize our online platforms to connect people. And then anytime I get the chance, like whether it's through TikTok or Instagram, to let people know that I'm also feeling that, I hope that that helps. But it's like you said, I mean, keeping it free is obviously something. We're going to have a lot more opportunities for people to connect that may not be free, and they might be like more niche events. But for the big meetup, keeping it free and keeping it kind of in an open area where people don't feel enclosed and they can leave at any point, I think it's hard. I don't really know the best answer, but I hope that the people who, and I believe, because I know our community and they're like the most amazing people, that they're seeing those people who are a little bit intimidated to walk in and they're saying, hey, come with me. Like that's the hope. And I think that that's the community that we have. And so really just cultivating that kind of inclusive environment all the time and making sure that the people who aren't as intimidated, you know, I know I've heard stories of people that are like walking through the park to try and find it. And then they'll see someone else who's kind of looking lost and find them. So I don't know. It's hard. I don't know like all the answers, but I think as long as the community is, you know, kind and inclusive and welcoming and they are, that hopefully that can help. But there's always going to be people who I think it just takes them a little longer. And honestly, that would be me if I hadn't started it. So, but yeah, definitely the online spaces too, so that people don't feel like they're only walking up to strangers. And then I guess the other thing that I'll add is through like Discord, sometimes people will organize pre-meetup things that are smaller before they come to the big meetup. So if whether it's just going to brunch or whatever, things like that where people can kind of put their toe in the water before jumping all the way in, I think are always good. So
Yeah, that's super cool. And it's fascinating to think about how I see it all the time, especially in my world of like live entertainers. People get pissy about the internet and all this stuff. And it's so fascinating to me when it's where it's like, okay, well, so use it.
Yeah.
And like utilize that, because there's so many people that are like, oh, this sucks. People are just like online all day and they don't come out to live shows and stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that's real. Or you can utilize that story.
Yeah.
Real. Or you can utilize this to like create this world
where interact with them, you know,
and actually want to come out. So yeah. That's awesome.
Yes. And the internet is powerful for sure for connection. I think there's sort of, I mean, obviously the internet can also, you know, further people isolating themselves, but I think that there's a lot of power to connect people through it and to build community, obviously, in relationships. So
yeah,
can be used either way.
Outside of this project, as somebody who works in events and stuff, like what attracted you in the first place to do events? Because I kind of was as a kid, I was like the most shy kid ever, and I didn't talk to anyone. Like, I think my kindergarten teacher like had to like call my mom in for a meeting. I'm like, does he know how to speak? Is there like,
oh my gosh,
so I just want to talk.
Yeah,
so shy. So then I kind of like played music when I was younger, and then turned into like variety performance, and then started making content and doing podcasts, like all of the things that like overcompensated for being a shy kid. And that's what brought me to like, I was like super passionate about like creating live experiences and stuff. So for me, it was like this compensation for being like overly shy. Then I like, okay, I need to build my own platform so that I can like communicate and share things.
Yeah.
What was it for you that attracted you to, you know, the event world? Because I think a lot of people are like, the same thing. A lot of people are like intimidated by like events and live events, even if you're not, even if you're like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah. What was that for you that like, that you have this in you of like events and creating experiences for audiences? Where did that kind of come from?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting what you said. I really do enjoy creating experiences and positive experiences, preferably one that leaves an impact in some way. I feel like this is always my answer to everything, but I sort of fell into events too. So it just sort of happened, but I've always been, I've always hesitated to call myself a creative, but I like doing work that allows me to be creative in some ways, but I'm also very much like a to-do list person, and I like to, you know, project manage. So events are kind of like the sweet spot because I get to do both. But I really fell into it, and I just kind of, I've loved it ever since I've done it. And anytime I've tried to get away from doing events because I thought, oh, I need something that's a little less crazy and something where I can, you know, be off more, I get too bored. So events are just kind of where it's at. I really do. I like making people feel good and making them feel like they had an experience that somehow made a difference for them, whether it was just they had a great night or they felt like they made an impact in the community. Makes me feel good at night. And when I lay my head down, I'm like, cool, I feel good about what I did. So that's why I've stayed in events. But as far as how I got into it, I sort of just fell into it. But I do like schmoozing a room, I guess, a little bit. Like, I think that's one thing that's been interesting with ATL Friends too, is like, so I get intimidated, but then like once I'm in the moment, I'm good. And it's a lot of like walking around, getting to meet people and whatever. And so I've always kind of enjoyed that part of events too. But really, it's just kind of the marriage of being able to be a little bit creative and still getting to, you know, do that kind of project management work that I enjoy, and doing it for good reasons, for good causes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. So I actually want to jump in on this and go like, as you said, being creative, go less creative.
Okay.
Because I've been fascinated with this a bit of like, I've been overwhelmed by tools, particularly like project management, like software and things.
Okay.
So here's a like a little bonus.
Awesome.
This is a little side tangent.
Very off. Yeah, I love this.
But what's your like preferred tool for, because also people are like, I like need this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have to-do list?
Yeah.
What's your like software or whatever that you use for like project management?
I like Asana. Microsoft Planner is also good. Like if you're on a team that's planning a big event.
Like that is like some, I don't know what Microsoft Planner, but it sounds like it's from 1992.
No. It's actually pretty good. It's very similar to Asana, but like if you use Microsoft Teams, like if your office is a Microsoft office or whatever, then you can, there's a tool in there called Planner, and it's basically like a sauna, but built in. Yeah. So you can like, whereas you're on Teams, like chatting with your coworkers, you can also see the same boards and like be making comments and leaving comments for each other. I mean, it's basically a sauna, but yeah, any of those. But I'm also just very much a notebook girl. Like I prefer to write things down in notebooks, and I use lots of notebooks. Yeah, that was my really professional answer.
Sweet. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that was definitely an interesting little tangent. But like, it's something that like people, I think, before I started like working with the like a consulting firm, I like didn't know anything about.
Got it.
You know, I was like Trello. I know that a Trello board kind of exists, but I didn't really know how to use it. So that's like been something fascinating to me of like, especially creative people just are like, I don't know. I have to do everything today.
Yeah.
Like, that ain't going to work.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so true. I've felt that for sure. But yeah, any of those tools, I mean, really I'll use whatever, but
yeah,
I do like a good to-do list written out for the day.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. So what do you think? In thinking about that, and I think you kind of touched on it a little bit of, there's a big general hangout, and then there's maybe some branch offs, and with ATL Friends, that specific thing. But just like in general, what do you think the ultimate thing, like maybe for you personally, or just in general, where would you like to see events and get-togethers? What is the dream vision for you of the ultimate community event hangout? As we have this world where we're merging digital and life together, is that something that merges, or does it become like the digital is the top of the funnel to create the events, or even in the specific events? So I'll let you kind of like grab whichever bits of this that are interesting. So for me, one of my things that I really want to create right now, there's a magic venue in almost every major city right now. And Atlanta doesn't have like a magic variety show world. And I can't figure out why.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Like there's like the Chicago Magic Lounge.
Everything.
Yeah.
You would think that they would
have
that.
And like everyone's moving here from every other city.
Right. Huh.
So for me, there's this world of, I like this immersive type theater experience, but it's not too intimidating. Going back to the intimidating, people aren't intimidated. They can still like go sit in the back and watch the show.
Yeah.
Because that's what I would want to do. So I have this vision of the ultimate experience. It's like you come and you could totally come alone and there'll be things, but then you can actually like watch this magic show that's going to leave you in awe. And so I have like a clear vision of like what I want, like a show that I would want to create.
Yeah.
What's that vision for you?
Yeah.
Like whatever, I kind of blending all of the things we've talked about.
Yeah.
If you could create anything, which is
that's
like
a
cool
great question. Yeah.
You're building the foundation like rapidly. And now we talked about it before, like, oh, you have opportunity to bring on sponsors and things.
Right.
Like you could actually probably be a few steps away from like doing a ultimate.
Well, and thing. What's crazy is like, I feel like all of that's happening faster than I've had the chance to like really sit down and like visualize what that dream event is. So I don't know. I think what I do know is, number one, the team and I that run ATL Friends, we are in constant communication with the community. And so it's kind of like we're getting feedback on what people want. But what I do know is no matter what, I always want to keep a big free meetup that's very much like what it is now, whether it's outdoors or not depends, but something that's just as easy as possible for people to feel comfortable walking up to. But yeah, I do want to do a lot more like small niche things, and those would be different. I mean, there would be things geared towards sports fans and towards, you know, music fans or whatever. So there's going to be a lot more of that coming down the pipe. But I don't know. It's such a good question. And it kind of forces me to pause and think, because I think that right now I'm in this interesting position of having like more opportunity than I thought that I would ever have with this. And I'm like, still in my mind, I'm like, I want to do a big park picnic. Like, so that's a good question. I don't know. I think just whatever makes the most people feel comfortable and excited to be there. So, and I'm sure over time that's going to evolve, but I think especially coming to these warmer months, keeping like one big outdoor event. I will tell you something, an idea that has come up, and I don't know if it's even possible. So if anyone listens to this, like, don't take it with a grain of salt, but a big block party. Yeah. Kind of event we've thought would be really fun. Maybe get some food trucks involved. I would love to maybe have a food truck partner for some of these meetups. Something that's like kind of like you were saying earlier, where there's like a thing that if you're not just like standing there, but even if it's just going to get food or a drink, then there's like something there, or maybe multiple somethings. So something like that I think would be really cool. I've had this idea of a summer ice cream social. Like I don't know. Maybe getting some kind of ice cream company in Atlanta to like provide ice cream and doing something like that. So I don't know what like my big dream event would be, though. Just things that are easy and flowing, and something where nobody feels trapped in it, like they can't get out if they need to get out, I guess. Kind of like a come and go style event. But as far as blending the digital world with the in-person, I think it's going to be both for this community anyway, just because so much of the connection happens online, especially when we're doing one big meetup every other month. I will say I would love at some point if it could become monthly, but I think it might take more hands on deck for that. But platforms like Discord are honestly so good for connecting people and like keeping that going. And I'm constantly seeing people planning their own hangouts outside of the big meetup. So it's super important for us to keep that digital space running smoothly and kind of like taking advantage of those platforms as much as we can, because it all started through TikTok and now it's like very heavily Instagram. But then we've obviously got the Discord. So I don't know. I don't think there's ever going to be like a just ATL Friends event without the sort of digital precursor.
I have another rabbit hole question that I just thought of when you said that. It's one thing that I've kind of attached myself to in like creating things is like I'll make an idea or something, and then as it grows it gets more people's like vision and things attached to it, which is like great. And it's awesome because I'm like, oh, this thing's growing, and then it starts to lose my initial vision. So when you
this idea, I love this question, I'm glad you're going here,
of people planning their own side events, and then it's like, well, that's out of, if people are just like planning this thing now, like you're like quote brand for lack of better words is attached to this thing that could be like at, you know, it could be at like some place that's sketchy or something.
I know I've had anxiety about this.
Or it could just be this thing where you're like, wait, this is out of control. You know, this isn't what this was supposed to be. So how I've struck
since
a nerve.
You asked. No, I'm glad you asked, because that happened, and it happened early on where this community, it was like, you know, maybe a few hundred strong and very active. Like there was more going on in town with ATL Friends, I mean, than anyone's ever seen. It was crazy. It was so exciting in the beginning, and it still is, but there was this like newness. And there was like a period of time where that was just a big anxiety point for me, is like, how do I let go of control? Because the point was like, people are making friends. That is the brand, and that's the point. And that was happening, but I always had those thoughts where I was like, oh my gosh, like, what if like 80 people show up to this bar and they're like, where were the ATL Friends? And I'm like, oh God, like, I have no control over that. So number one, I think I've had to release control a little bit. And I've told people, and like, this is sort of the general rule, I guess. If it's not an event that ATL Friends, like the team, is planning, then it's not affiliated. But I think what I've learned is when something is good and something is making a difference for people, and like, you know, it's new and it's exciting, people want to be involved and the intentions are good to be involved. But when a lot of people suddenly are getting involved in the same thing at one time, it's like everyone sort of has their ideas, and not everyone, you know, came into it with the kind of idea, the vision that I had when I created it. But I've learned a couple of things. Number one is like boundaries and being able to say like, okay, this is getting a little too out of control. Number two is listening more to people that have good ideas that may not line up with what my initial idea was. ATL Friends, I think, would not be what it is now had I really like not been willing to let go of some of my initial vision a little bit, because I was very like, anyone that kind of helps me run this group can tell you, I was very much like, this is a creative community. Like, yeah. That is what this started as. And we still want to have these other things, but like the group is going to be this like creative community that, you know, that we founded. And, but that wasn't what the group was like sort of needing to become. And so I think I had to let go of some of my initial vision with it and understand that like, it would still be there, but there was something bigger that was kind of needed. And so it's interesting because, yeah, a lot of people have ideas. A lot of people have really good ideas, but, you know, when there's a lot of like passionate ideas flying, sometimes yeah. It's hard to know, like, I feel like I'm losing track of like what I created this to be. So, but then there's also the flip side of like, they're probably right. And like, I should listen. So it was interesting in the early months of ATL Friends, because it was that learning curve of like, I have no idea how to be the person that's responsible for a group that's growing really fast. And like, I don't know how to do everything right. And I'm sure there are a lot of things I'm not doing right. So now I would say we have this very clear vision for the group. That's sort of a blend of like, what I sort of envisioned when I created the community and what it sort of naturally evolved to be. And it feels right. And like now I think everyone's kind of, we're all feeling and seeing the same vision and it's good. So, but it definitely, and I think probably anyone who starts anything feels that when it's like new and it's early and, you know, you don't know how to manage it all. And so it's hard, but we got there. We got through. Yeah. It was interesting the first few months for sure. But
yeah, I think that's a great, to tie this all up, I think that's a great point in that when we're creating something, it's like you have to stay true to your vision. If people are like, mm-hmm. well, never give up. Do you like have a goal and never give up? Go till it happens. And I'm like, or like, you might be wrong.
Yeah, I've had to admit I'm wrong a lot. I've become like much better about that because sometimes I just am. I'm not know what I'm doing either, you know?
Yeah, and I didn't anticipate us coming to this like point of the circle, but I think it's like so perfect of a place to get to as, you know, we were talking before we were recording of me starting in like live theater and realizing like, okay, well, that's, I don't really want to keep doing that. I like that'll always be part of me and I'll always have that passion. But I'm like, okay, well, what if I kind of step behind the scenes and more produce things and other entertainers? But if I was like, no, I need to be a professional performer, I would have like lived my entire life and got to a point where I like at the end of my life, I'm like, oh, I wanted to kind of do other things.
Yeah.
So I think that's like so important, especially thinking about like creative people and people who are kind of like exploring new things. I think that's so good of like, yeah, you have to stay true to your vision, but also admit that you might not know everything and be willing to like hear, let other people kind of like.
Totally.
You're steering the ship, but like waves around you can.
I like that. It's true. There's room for both. And now I would say my vision that this started as, it's beyond everything that's happened is so far beyond anything I could have imagined. And there are the coolest creative collaborations that are coming from this group, but it's also serving so many more people in other ways. And it's just interesting because in my brain at the time I was like, I want this to be a creative space, but I also want it to be a space for people to make friends. But I was like, but I really want to like hyper focus on the creative part. And now it's like, it's sort of just like a big community group, but the creative part is, I don't need to hyper focus on that because those are the people that are finding it and like those collaborations are happening. So yeah, it's hard to kind of swallow your pride when people are looking to you to be like, what is this? And you're like, figuring it out, you're like, I don't know, but admitting when, you know, other people's ideas might be better than yours is definitely, I think, a skill to have, but it's hard. So now, but now I'm looking back and I'm like, okay, even in the last 6 months since, you know, I had to kind of become more okay with admitting that I'm wrong and now seeing what's grown from that, it's like, okay, I should definitely listen to other people more. But still, again, trusting your own vision and like trusting my gut too. I've very much like my gut guides everything I do. So even now, like obviously ATL Friends kind of has, I don't want to say exploded, but like it definitely sort of blew up more in the recent weeks. And there's that piece of like, what, you know, there are a lot of opportunities and it's like, what opportunity is right? And like, what's right for, not for me, but like for this entire group of all these people who are a part of it. And so trying to listen to your gut and stay in line with the vision, and then knowing that you're working with people that you trust who can tell you that you're wrong. And you're like, you are right. I am wrong. And knowing that their intentions are good, I think is super important.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, so we've explored the idea of having an idea, jumping in, making it happen.
Yeah.
And then allowing. So like, it's kind of like, I think about it as like, you got to have, you got to swing the bat to have a chance. And the more that you swing the bat, even if you suck at baseball, like you get more at bats. Like, but
yeah, that's true.
Video on TikTok, like the more you post a video on TikTok, the more likely it's going to be seen by somebody.
Yeah. Very true. So, always post the TikTok if you have any touts. Cause I mean, had I not, I'm like, I don't even know what I'd be doing right now.
Yeah.
Probably sitting alone somewhere.
Yeah. I love that trend on TikTok right now. That's like, post your drafts and people are like, I have 4,000.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No one is seeing my drafts.
So we've jumped in. So we have an idea.
Yep.
Jump in, make it happen. Mm-hmm. And also, like, it's all about sharing. You know, it doesn't need to be figured out first. It needs to be shared so that you can figure it out, which brings us to this whole full circle of like, oh, it'll kind of attract different people and it'll change. And then as it grows, it might actually grow into something that it was supposed to be, not what, and it's probably not exactly what you initially thought it was going to be. I've been heavy on the metaphors and analogies, but I'm going to do one more to tie it up. Is like, I think about it, a lot of this stuff, as a tree that's growing. Mm-hmm. It starts with one seed. I'm going like 1980s.
I love it.
Motivational speaker metaphor.
I love
cheesy.
It.
But it
starts with a seed.
But it's, so it's different than that. But the idea of the seed is like, oh, this has one thing. And then it grows, and then it's just like the split of the branches. You can really end up way over here or way over here.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the whole of the tree is really great. And I think about that all the time. You don't need to have this laser focused thing of like, oh, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This thing that I do is my identity.
Right.
Like, you can be over on this side of the tree sometimes.
Yeah.
Over here, and then have all these other people. And it, like, it's okay if you don't end up at the edge of the one leaf that you saw.
Right.
You were
in. No, I like that. I like that. Yeah. I think you end up where you're supposed to be regardless. And I think that things bloom. I think they bloom the way that they're supposed to. And this has definitely been, like, the ATL Friends has been a testament of that for me, because I sure was like, you know, there was this little seed, and it was an accident. So it's like, you're trying to come up with this vision, but I'm sometimes a little bit like, I'm not the most go with the flow type of person. I like to have control of the direction of everything. And when I don't, I feel panic. But I've been learning that when I let go of control, that it's beautiful things can really happen. And so I like that analogy of the tree with the seed, because I feel like it's very true. And you know, things grow into what they're supposed to.
If any ATL Friends visual artists want to animate that clip.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Blossoming.
Yes. That would be amazing.
We will have.
I'm sure someone could do that. Yeah. I know we have some animators in the group.
Yes. All right. So that's a great full circle to bring
us
back. Is there, you know, we've talked about it the whole time. If people that are listening that this is maybe new, where do you want to send people first? Because they can kind of like come in from a bunch of different angles.
Good question. I would say that our Instagram is the best way to start getting connected with us, because it used to be that I would send people through like TikTok, because everyone sort of came through TikTok until more recently. But our Instagram is where like all of our events are announced. We've got a lot of really cool, exciting things that are going to be coming up. And we also really do work to utilize that space to connect people still, even though they don't always like see each other. We're still trying to kind of do that on the back end. And our Discord is also linked there in our bio. Oh, something really exciting is we've started a little kickball group. So we're going to be doing some more fun things like that. But all of that is announced on our Instagram. And then I would say from there, the Discord too, just getting in there and kind of getting to know people is always great. Every other month, we'll be doing a big, fun, free meetup. So
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys can go check that out. And that was awesome. Thanks for sharing all the stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This was awesome.